Hello and welcome to Miss Bossy Boots, inspiring leadership for women in business. My name is Stacey Morgan. I'm the principal of Port Macquarie Performing Arts, a dance school on the mid-north coast of New South Wales here in Australia. And joining me is my co-host, Jane Hilston. Jane is the managing director of Dragonfly Marketing, a marketing agency that helps small business grow. How you doing, Jane?
Hi, Stace. I'm really well.
Today we are talking about something that you and I could talk about all day. But don't tune out, because we are going to try and keep it short and sweet. Otherwise, we have the tendency to rattle on. Because even before we hit record, we rattled on for at least 20 minutes about it. So hopefully we haven't got all of the gems and the pearls of wisdom out too early.
Yeah. Look, Stace, you know, our podcast is about inspiring leaderships. And I think this particular foundation of finding balance is 100% relevant to so many people, whether they be female or male. You know, I think we're all at a stage now where everybody's so busy. Mm-hmm. You know, you ask anybody how they are and they're busy.
Flat out.
So busy.
Yeah.
Can't do anything. So busy. You know, so, but we make these choices. We fill our lives with the things that we do. But finding that balance so that you're actually not burning out or, you know, spending too much time in one particular area and neglecting another is, I think, something that everybody finds difficulty with.
So immediately when we think balance, we think of getting everything done that needs to be done in the hours that we're awake. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And with so many different things that make up our lives, we can be talking family, we can be talking home, we can be talking pets, we can be talking career, we can be talking hobbies, everything that makes up the jigsaw puzzle of our life, finding enough time to do everything is not just something that people in business find challenging, it's challenging for everyone.
Yeah, the same could be said for school students, you know, particularly in those later years where they're trying to fit in, you know, year 11, 12 study. Certainly from anything that I've heard, it seems that there is even more work, and they've extended that HSC years to 2 years as opposed to just having it as one. So I can imagine that kind of juggle of achieving that right balance starts probably at a really early age. And look, even if we go before that, you know, I know myself as a person who really likes to just be busy and actually do a lot and fit in a lot, you know, I started my kids at a really young age doing a billion different things. So, at the age of two, they were enrolled in dancing and they were enrolled in swimming and they could go to music class and, you know.
Many options.
Well, that's right.
Lucinda is studying multi-sports next week.
And
she's
Lucinda's
three.
Isn't I was going to say. Yeah. But that derived from my need to be occupied, you know. And I'll be honest about that. So, you know, I had my first child and I had allotted some time off. I'd taken maternity leave, and I distinctly remember turning up to my mother's group after 3 weeks of having Alice, who's now 11, and saying, "Okay, girls, take me through the run sheet of your day, because this cannot be all that having a baby is cracked up to do. All she does is sleep and eat. It is the most boring days I have had forever." You
what
know, I thought you were supposed to be busy as a mum. Like, am
kind
I
of
missing something?
And looks did you get having this conversation?
I was met with silence. You know, like, what is that question? Is it loaded? What are you talking about? You know, I'm busy. Honestly, I was like, this cannot be it. I thought your days were just filled and, you know, you were sleep deprived, which was true, but, you know, you just never had time to get stuff done and the house was always dirty. So 8 weeks, needless to say, 8 weeks after Alice was born, I went back to my previous employer and said, "Any spare work that you've got that you'd like to get done, just shoot it my way. I'll
really
see what I can fit in between her sleeps." Oh, gosh, yeah, absolutely. I was bored out of my brain. And obviously, as you know, Alice grew and then I end up having two other kids and ended up with three kids and, you know, now they've all started school. It's horrendous. Their timetables are horrendous. But it's, you know, they're all busy kids, obviously a product of a a busy mum. So, you know, that comes into my balance equation, and I'm sure there's lots of parents that would be in the same boat. What about you?
Well, balance, I love the saying that we all have the same amount of hours in the day as Beyonce.
Yeah, 100%.
Sometimes it just feels like there's not enough time.
Yeah.
And by the time I get to the end of the day, things that I'm constantly struggling with the idea that I didn't get enough done. And yes. I don't know what this magical enough is, and I don't know what this magical feeling of, oh, I did enough today.
Yes.
Because it seems like the to-do list is ongoing, and then it rolls over into the next day, and everything is never ticked off the list.
No.
So in Jane and I talking about this, we decided to come up with the top things that we do in our lives that make us at least feel like we are getting some kind of balance.
Mm.
Balance between time for ourselves, time for our family, and time for our careers.
Mm.
What's your number one, Jane?
Okay, so my biggest challenge when it comes to creating balance in my life is that I have what I would deem a full-time role as a mother, but I also have a small business where that sees me probably working about 70 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So being full-time mum and, you know, running a business at that level are two pretty big things to have to fit
squeeze in.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm like you, Stace. I always feel like I've got to the end of the day and I'm not sure whether I've actually got anything else done. Having said that, I actually think I put too much pressure on myself to get things done at that very moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when I actually look down my list, I don't actually have to get everything done that day.
Yes.
It's just my propensity to want to achieve and tick things off the list that drives this, you know, feeling of desperation to make sure that I'm ticking these things off the list. In the scheme of things, if we actually put it into perspective, it doesn't really matter if some of those items get done maybe tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah.
It's just that's my
expectation.
Headspace.
Yes.
So there's a few things that I do. One of the first things that I do is I prioritize exercise. So I don't actually prioritize a lot of me time at all.
Yeah.
And whenever I do take me time, I feel really guilty about that. I feel like I'm letting somebody down. So I feel like I'm letting my business down and being lazy, mm-hmm. because I'm not actually doing invoices or something boring like that. Or I feel like I'm letting my kids down. Oh, my goodness, you know, I should be spending this every precious moment. Everyone keeps saying about how they're young for such a short time.
Fast.
Oh, my goodness, you know, I shouldn't be reading this magazine, whatever.
But that's
or my husband.
Sorry, can I interrupt? Because me time is different, comes differently for different people, and I'm exactly the same. I can take me time to do exercise and feel differently about it to taking me time to read a magazine.
Yeah.
And what people get out of these two different things can be completely different, or people
That's
can get
right.
the same thing.
And I guess for me, and this is probably how I've justified it, is I feel that if I'm exercising, that A, ticks the box of being physically active and, you know, keeping weight control and all that sort of stuff, but B, mentally, I am such a better person if I have exercised. So if I've gone for a run, if I've gone for a swim, I'm a much nicer person. So I feel like, you know, yes, this is not only good for me, but it's good for everyone.
For the world.
It's good for the world. I'm doing this for you, world.
Yeah.
It's not – this isn't me time.
No.
This is
world
the world
time. Love it.
What about you?
I just started this year. I had a New Year's resolution. I used to love reading, and since opening my business, I haven't read anything that's not work-related.
I hear you.
Because guilt was the really big thing. If I had time to turn a page in a book, goodness me, I had time to turn pages of those invoices that really need following up. So for me, at the beginning of this year, I decided that I would take time at the end of every day to read, whether that was a page or a chapter, or sometimes it is literally a page or a paragraph. I read a paragraph, I go, oh, that's it, I've had enough for the day, I'm going to bed. But in taking that time, not only was I feeding my brain, but I was able in that 2 minutes or 4 minutes, or sometimes it's 40 minutes, to be able to let go of the feeling, because I used to go to bed cranky at the world because I didn't get my time. I didn't get any time to myself the whole day. But now when I read, I'm doing something for me.
Yeah.
This is my time.
Yes.
I get to go to bed going, I had my time.
Yes.
It was a paragraph worth or two pages worth or two chapters worth, but it was my time. I got to do it. Everything else will wait till tomorrow. Good night, world.
So is that reading, so you said you read a lot of business books. So is this reading of a leisure book as opposed to a business book? This
not
is
at
still
all.
Reading a
still
business
book. Still reading a business book.
Okay, but it's just reading a book.
It's a choice as well.
Yeah.
If I wanted to read
a leisure book.
Fiction, I could I could definitely do that. But at the moment there's so many different podcasts I listen to that talk to different authors and so many of those books I go, oh, I'd love to know more about that.
Mm.
And I used to buy the books and then stack them in the bookshelf and then never look at them again. So what I've been doing this year is I've been making my way through that stack.
Yes.
And occasionally purchasing another one.
Yes.
And so the stack is getting smaller.
Yes.
And when I do finally finish a book, I feel this incredible satisfaction that I've actually spent that much time to read a whole book.
Yes. Yeah.
That's just been me time. So
that's
my number one.
Yeah. And I guess that's kind of like a big book to-do list that,
you
know, you're really just ticking that off and the satisfaction of actually getting that done.
Yeah.
So one of the second thing that I guess that I've done to help me achieve balance is just changing the wording around, you know, if I'm asked to do something or if I'm faced with the decision to devote time to doing something, rather than the first thing I say as I don't have time, it's actually working out whether that's actually a priority or not. Because at the end of the day, exactly like you said, we all have the same amount of time in the day.
As Beyonce.
That
part is really important.
24 hours, 7 days a week,
yep.
And no one or nothing is going to change that.
Yeah.
So there's no point about, you know, having the excuse that you don't have time to do something. So it's really just, am I going to prioritize to do things? And if I am going to prioritize to do that, given that my days are pretty full, what's that going to come at the expense of?
Yes.
So then I start going, okay, you know what? This rates here, lower on the list, compared to something that rates a little bit higher on the list, and it's either going to take the place of something on my list or it's not.
Yeah.
So that then sends a signal to me as to it's not that you don't have time to do this, it's just that in the world of priorities, you are not going to prioritize doing that for now.
Yeah.
It might be something that comes, you know, further down.
Yeah.
And I guess in you know, I've already carved out another 2 days, 2 hours in my day. So I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to make sure that I fit as much as possible within my day.
Superhuman. How do you do that? What time do you go to bed?
Early. So 9. So I'm not a night person. I can't actually get things done at night.
Yeah.
So in identifying that, I've gone, but I really, really nail it in the morning. I've always been a morning person and I can get so much done in the hours between 4 and 6.
Yeah.
Like I would say sometimes I get more done in those hours between 4 and 6 than I do for the rest of the day.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So I've carved out as much time as is humanly probably possible for now.
Yeah.
So now it's just about reprioritizing when I need to fit extra stuff in.
I got a really big kick up the pants when I had my daughter Lucinda and she was about 1.5 years old and I was struggling with the guilt of being able to delegate things in my business and not holding so tightly onto everything and trying to do everything myself. So I was struggling with trying to hand things on but also trying to still keep everybody happy because I have, you know, that syndrome as a lot of people do is I'm a people pleaser. I like to make sure I can do as many things as possible for as many people. And that's just part of what I've been able to learn about myself. And I went to a conference and the keynote speaker said as part of her speech, every time you say yes to something, you are saying no to something else.
100%.
And when I spoke to her afterwards, after her speech, I was talking about Lucinda and she said, yeah, but every time you say yes to that, you're saying no to Lucinda. How many times a day do you say no to Lucinda? And I just
wow,
hit me like a truck.
Yes.
And and I haven't recovered from that. And so it's been a really interesting exercise for me in priorities, in being able to look at things from that. And of course, everything's not as literal as that. But if I do put it through that filter of, am I taking time away from her? And is this more important? And is it really necessary that it happens today?
Yeah.
I've found that I've got a lot more perspective, but I still, that keynote speaker saying those words, I will never forget that moment because it was a really big aha for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What about your second thing?
My second thing is trying to be 100%. And I say this because this is a goal. Mm. This is not something that I am doing very well. Mm. Some days I'm better at it than others. I try and be 100% when I'm at work. I try and be 100% when I'm at home. I try and not be doing... I used to pride myself on being the world's greatest multitasker, and now I realize that's really not an achievement.
Mm.
It just means I'm doing everything half as well as I probably should be. So when I'm spending time with the kids, I try and put my phone somewhere where I can't see it.
Yep.
And just spend that time with the children. Same with if everything's fine at home and I'm at work, I try and just be working and turn off distractions.
Yeah,
so turning off the phone dinging or the notifications or the people interrupting or any of those things, go somewhere quiet that's zoned off from the world and just get to it.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that's something that I'm not very good at
either. I'm not good at it either, but I can picture it and I'm working towards it. And if I'm having a bad day at it, it enables me to go, actually, no.
Yes.
Step away.
Yes. And actually, it's funny because I think it was in the latest issue of the Collective, Lisa Messenger's magazine.
Loved
and she,
that magazine.
Yeah. And I think there was a Father's Day issue and I can't remember the name of the guy who has the Tom's business, the shoes.
Yes.
And he was saying that he and his wife do that. So whenever they're in the room with their child, there is no electronics in that room. So there's no laptop, there's no phone, there's no TV. It is just 100% human on human time.
Yes.
Reading that though was quite confronting because, you know, my first reaction was, you know, wow, that's full on.
Yeah.
You know, really, do you have
Is
to
that
take
necessary?
It? Yeah. Do you have to take it to that purity level?
But it'd be interesting to do it for a week.
Yeah. I guess the thought manifested for a while and I thought, yeah, I guess, you know, it is kind of all or nothing. You know, you don't have your phone there, notifications flashing up every 5 minutes and humanly be able to avoid those for very long.
Yeah.
So we're human, you know, we're going to be attracted by the next shiny, bright new thing that drives past or flashes up as a notification. So I get that.
I'm going to take that on. That's a bit of a challenge for
a challenge.
Week.
Yeah, maybe that's right.
It concerns me that my one-year-old picks up my phone and taps it with his pointing finger. I'm like, do you see me do it that much? I feel really deep. Ooh.
Yes.
When I see him do that, because he can't speak. There's not many things he can do. He can pretty much climb, eat and work my iPhone.
Yeah. But I think iPhones were deliberately designed so that any age could access them.
Okay,
so
good.
Let's blame it on Steve. And two, that's interesting because I remember when my kids were that age, they used to just pick up a block and pretend, you know, and walk around the phone going, hi, you know, blah, 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 blah. So clearly I was actually talking, but communication means have changed now when we text more or Facebook.
Yes.
So now rather than picking up and mimicking the phone movement, you know, they're picking up and texting, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And scary all at once.
Exactly.
Number three for me is actually having the ability to say no. Now that's
an interesting concept. How do you do that?
Oh my goodness. Not easy. And to be honest, I'm getting better.
Yeah.
I am getting better. And I guess for me, it was, I can say no. When I fundamentally don't want to do something, I can say no. But when someone who I have a really good relationship is asking, or when I think, oh my goodness, yeah, that person really does need my help, and feel it's going to be for the betterment of everyone that I help them, but not to the betterment of myself.
Yes.
I'm really bad at saying no. But I must say it was really just finding a couple of good reasons or good backups to that no. So no, I can't work with you on this particular project because I don't feel confident that I'll get results. Can I recommend that you contact da 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 da?
Mm-hmm.
or no, I'm unable to help you with this free piece of work or on your committee for whatever, because I have some other conflicting priorities in my life, and I don't believe I'll be able to get you the results that I could give if you had my full attention, you know, or something along those lines. And yeah. I think having a little bit of confidence and having just done it a couple of times and realizing, oh, right, okay, it's not the end of the world. And in fact, they've just moved on and asked somebody else.
Yeah.
It gives you the confidence to say it more. I still need to say it more.
Yeah.
But I have been finding that that's made a big difference.
And in one of my books that I've read during my time reading books, somewhere it said something about the no muscle. You've got to work it.
Yes.
Like any muscle, you've got to train it and you've got to work it. And the more that you do, the better you get at it and the stronger it gets.
I would 100% agree with that.
So go you.
Yes. So number three for you.
My number three is really basic. I'm better at asking for help now.
Oh, yeah.
I find that my life is a lot more balanced when I can let go of the idea that I can do everything myself and that no one can do it as well as I can, and I can just ask people to help me out.
Yes.
Because most of the time there are people there who would like to help and
are happy to
help. So
yeah.
I just need to be able to put everything aside and reach out when I need to.
And I think that extends to happy to be led as well. You know, there are people that you surround yourself with that don't want to be the leaders or don't want to be foraging, or I guess forging, I should say, that don't want to be forging ahead with decisions. You know, they're not comfortable in making decisions, but geez, they're comfortable and so happy to be fulfilling, you know, things that you've asked them to do, you know, and that really, that's important to them. So they really thrive on that.
Yeah.
Which me not being one of those people necessarily, I guess, never really got that concept. Yeah. Until it was kind of explained that there are people who just genuinely want to help and be led, you know, and do things to help other people, which definitely helps. But I think it's the same muscle as the no muscle.
Yeah.
You've got to actually exercise that muscle of asking for help before you actually feel comfortable with it. Because it's not only the notion, I think, of putting someone out. It's the idea of letting go of some of those activities and trusting somebody else to be able to do them as well as you believe you can.
Yeah. I found in my business asking for help, which I thought would be immediately showing a sign of weakness, instead was a great way for people to play a bigger role in being part of my tribe.
Yes.
And taking ownership on those things that the example I'm thinking of is the building my studio. What I wanted was to have a grand opening where the doors opened and everything was miraculously done. But of course, the week leading up to that was just absolute chaos. But the people, when I said I need help, and people came to help, when those doors opened on opening day, they had so much more ownership of the building and the space, and they'd been in it and they played a part in it. And so they now, even to this day, care so much more about
what they
helped create and what they helped build. And that was a big lesson for me in asking for help.
So true. Yeah.
So there are our fundamentals that we kind of came up with ourselves in regards to balance and finding balance in your life. We'd love to hear what you do and how you create that balance in your world. You can hit us up on our Facebook page.
Facebook.com/MissBossyBootsPodcast.
Just write on our wall, leave us a comment, send us a message, jump under any of our photos. We'd love to get in touch with you. Or if you really, 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 really want to be nice, we would love to ask for your help. You're exercising the muscle.
Absolutely.
Please leave us a rating or review on iTunes. It's not just for our inflated egos. It's in order to help us share this podcast with as many people as possible. That just really helps, you know, us share the love and get the word out there. So we're coming up with more episodes exploring those 12 fundamentals of business. We hope that this podcast is helping inspire leadership for you in your life and also in your business. Thank you so much, Jane, for joining us for this little chat today.
Thank you, Stace.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.